Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast. This is Prospect One. I'm your host, Chris Welsh, who you can find on the socials at Is It The Welsh, Twitter and Instagram. And over at InThisLeague.com, that is the Patreon, where the top 500 prospect ranks live, top 400 dynasty, got amateur ranks for the upcoming draft, and an update coming very soon. But you want to check it out, go to InThisLeague.com. You can support me on Patreon, InThisLeague.com. That is how you get access to the stuff and the things, and I appreciate you very much. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Prospect One. Today, I am going to be talking about 10 prospects on the rise. There is so much to talk about in the land of prospects right now. New graduations, guys that have come off the prospect list, guys that are ready to come off the prospect list. I'll kind of mention that in a little bit. But in the world of prospect ranks, something I try to do that you can see on my prospect list is I've got a ranks by the season and how they've moved through the season and then over the last rank update. So you get both of those little charts that are on there. And there are tons of players that take these big jumps. We're definitely in a space now where sample sizes feel a lot better. Guys holding things for longer to maybe make that big boost. Or even players that didn't quite get maybe some of the early respect. I tend to not go ballistic about some of the early production, for better or for worse. You know, sometimes there are guys that hold it through the season and it's like, whoops, we were a little bit behind. And sometimes people, I think, make some instant quick reactions that it's like, whoops, we shouldn't have gone quite there. So whatever you consider that. But my point is there are guys that are making jumps that I think it's making a lot more sense right now. Even if there's a struggle, there's actually a prospect we're going to talk about that has made a big jump, but is having a horrifically bad June. But they've held it. Last couple games have actually kind of bounced back. But there are a lot of guys that are making movement on the ranks. And there's a lot of guys that are getting a lot of public attention and maybe even a few that are about to. These are 10 players that have had massive moves in my ranks. Guys that deserve a little bit more conversation, not to say necessarily that other guys haven't, but I'll tell you, like as I stare at this list of players that we're going to talk about, these guys all have made some important moves. And I'll tell you, some of them are pretty low. I'm looking, there are four complex level guys. One has actually moved up. So those are lower guys that have made some more dramatic moves. And then there's a couple other players that have moved into just really significant positions. But I will tell you, these are not like guys that have moved into a top 10 or anything like that. These are just some of the biggest, most dramatic rank movers that probably are on your radars. And I'm going to talk about them today. I will tell you the ranks themselves are really kind of positioning themselves in a weird spot. It always happens. It's like one or two times into the year. I feel like it's like the first month and then there's like a halfway point, and then maybe it's the end of the season where you look and you're like, oh, there are some dramatic changes that are coming. Because as I'm looking at like my top 10, there are four players that are on the relative cusp of coming off. So that's going to make a pretty dramatic move to who's going to jump into the top 10 and what, the top one, two, or three players are going to be. Because as of right now, the number one and two players on my prospect list are both in the majors. Number four is also in the majors. So Roman Anthony, Jack Caglione, and Nick Kurtz, they're all inside my top four. They're all going to come off probably by All-Star break. I guess I'm not looking at like the exacts of plate appearances and how it matches. There's a possibility like Maybe Roman Anthony doesn't, but Cags needs just under 100 at-bats for him to graduate. Kurtz is going to graduate probably by the beginning of next week. And then Anthony is the one that might kind of still be on there, but you're going to have like a real new set. And that's actually kind of what I'm getting at here is like, as a couple guys, Christian Campbell have graduated. Who are our last couple graduations in that top 10? We had Christian Campbell, or arguable top 20 even. Guys like Matt Shaw, Cam Smith, obviously Christian Campbell. And God, I feel like I'm forgetting somebody as I'm looking through this. Jason Dominguez had gone. There's always been someone that was like easy in the wings. Roman Anthony became a default. I think how Caglione has worked himself, like that one has jumped up. What I'm saying is I feel like there's going to be a new guard of prospects. And sometimes this happens where it's like guys come off and you feel really good about the next guy. Not that I don't feel good, but the next three guys that would be, or four, let's say, they're all really young. As a matter of fact, three of the four would be 19 or younger, would be on the top 100. That's not a bad thing necessarily, but is it chalk? They're kind of far away. Only one of these players is at AA. So it's going to be some combination post-futures game of like Jesus Mate, Max Clark, Leo DeVries, Sebastian Walcott. That's probably your chalk top four prospects. And it might be kind of unanimous, like maybe not. I think there's a couple other guys, depending where you're at. I think Connor Griffin, Luis Pena, Kevin McGonigal, Zaire Hope. I think those guys are also going to be in that discussion. I'm probably a little bit higher on like Bryce Eldridge, JJ Weatherholt, and I'm not giving up on Bazzana like most others seem to be. But that is the crew of, I guess, what did I give you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's like 11. So that's like essentially, I think, the 11 best hitters. And then maybe there's an argument of like, does Selston or Basayo, maybe Basayo goes in there. So if you're in like a 12-team league, that's your top 12 of hitters. But it does feel different. That's a different feel of a crew. There's tons of upside. There's not quite enough proximity. And we'll have to wait. What does proximity look like? Like for me, Eldridge has the best proximity of any of these players. None of the rest of those guys are going to see the majors this year or graduate from the list. Like that's chalk. The only guy that I truly think can come off that list is Eldridge for the rest of the season. So it's really going to be about like if there are any other closer proximity guys that can move up. And I'm not so sure that that happens. So all that I'm saying is like, it's an interesting time right now of what prospect lists are going to look like, of how you're going to want to adjust the list. And I know it's going to be combinations of it's going to be like Walcott or Mate. That's probably what it's going to look like for the most part. But, you know, where will people put Pena? Where will Connor Griffin sit out? Kevin McGonigal is another player. You know, I'm not talking about him in the top 10, but he has made or the top 10 biggest movers. But to be fair, Kevin McGonigal has made a very dramatic move in of players inside the top 50. Let me look here. In my top 50, he has the second biggest jump from rank over rank. And the second, call it the third biggest jump. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at this as McGonigal. No, I guess season over. I was going to say from a season perspective, I was thinking he made one of the biggest jumps. He actually didn't from the full season, but from rank to rank is where I finally pushed him up into the heavy teens. And he's like a top 10 guy. By the way, if I'm giving you the names on the season in the top 50, the biggest movers up were Luis Pena, Jacob Mizorowski, and Travis Sikora, who I probably will talk about, and Tyson Lewis. Those are the guys that probably had the most numerical jump that are inside my top 50 now from season to season start over. But from the last update, McGonigal's number two, and deservedly so. He's one of those guys that's going to push the envelope for a lot of people just because of the hit tool. You know, he was injured. He missed time. Probably going to see him in the AFL. You know, I don't know if they're comfortable with that amount of missed time. The big counting stats aren't huge, but the bat is. 333 average and 84 at bats, 434 OBP, almost 1,000 OPS. It's going ballistic. And he's got 13 doubles. For perspective, Buddy hit 16 doubles last year in 74 games. He's got 13 doubles in 23 games so far this year. Future power projection. Pretty good launch angle he puts on the ball, makes fantastic contact, really good decision making. He has more walks than strikeouts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect one.
All right, 10 prospects that are making moves on the prospect list, at least for mine, that have made some big dramatic moves. Let's start with, I think, one of the buzzier dudes out there. And I always find it funny, too, when you look at like the MILB page where Ronnie Rodriguez is listed. They list him as a third baseman, but he's been a catcher and he has played zero third base this year on the field. So just pointing that out as a little side note, if you check out his player page, they have him listed at third base. He has literally not played a game according to the fielding log. He has DH'd. DH'd and he's been catching. That's it. Though I would think third base would be a really good spot for him. And, you know, one of the things, there's a definite bias that ends up happening. You know, me being out here in Arizona and seeing so many of the guys that I do, it's very front faced. And I can get lost a little bit on the East Coast. And like the FCL, but one of the guys that you didn't get lost on was Roniel, and he had been continuously moved up. And the funny thing is, you know, in that same discussion of like falling too crazy into hype and going ballistic with specific players and stuff like that, the Cardinals had two of the buzziest FCL players out there. It was Roniel Rodriguez and Yairo Padilla. Well, Padilla has fallen on his face. Like, let me give you an update on him. And what's interesting about that is Padilla went, I think, inside or right at the top 100 in the P180Ps I did. And it was, I think, obviously, blatantly, based off of the DSL numbers that he had last year. Because in the DSL, 287, a homer, some good extra base hits, lots of stolen bases. I know from a chart perspective, you know, he kind of popped, but he went like super high. He's in the FCL this year. He's 17 years old, by the way. Like, don't get it twisted that I'm like trying to crap on him. But very, very young, but he's hitting 233, no homers, 18 stolen bases, good OBP, but things haven't like clicked. I would say the OBP is very good. The stolen bases are great to see. He's just not making a bunch of like big positive contact. So I think the radar of him has kind of dropped. Like if we were doing the P180Ps today, I don't think you would see Padilla go in the top 150. But Ronnie Rodriguez has been kind of like a completely different story, so much so that he's moved out of the FCL and he's in single A now. On the season, hitting 321, eight homers, a stolen base, a 443 OBP, and over 1,100 OPS. He dominated complex ball, but he is doing, and this is the funny thing about it, because this isn't me necessarily doing a like, here are the guys that have been hot the last week. This is like an overarching look because what can happen when he's getting challenged, he's struggling. He's struggling in A ball. It's six games, but he's hitting only 200 right now. So 231 OBP, everything has kind of fallen apart from what we saw there, but it is a big transitional move. Complex ball, he did not belong there anymore. He hit 373, more walks than strikeouts, 13 extra base hits in 20 games. This is exactly what you want to see. Big body guy, hard EVs, great swing. I would love him to be a position player over a catcher. And that's maybe where we're going to, you know, make that move. Right now, the DH and catching is interesting. You know, they might slowly make that transition as time goes on. I guess playing some third base in the DSL. But, you know, like we have to, if I'm giving credit to certain complex league players out here, the dominating of a league, I think, is something that I do want to pay attention to, especially when an age to level type of thing. And what I'm telling you is I don't really care about the current struggle. The struggle itself is not unexpected. What he showed in complex was maybe below age to level. I mean, 18 at complex is like not unheard of. Like 18 years old at complex is not only like expected, but you could be like, oh, that's even a little bit younger. absolute domination. He deserves credit for that and has shown off like potential elite power. So I want to push him up while not caring about some of this early struggle. Now, obviously, if everything completely falls apart once you get out, usually these complex balls have really, really bad pitching. So if he's now, you know, facing great pitching and can't get stuff together, like we got to pay attention to that. But I also say he's not striking out. He struck out 4 times in 25 at bats. He's got 3 extra base hits so far in those 6 games. Like, I think things are clicking in the right direction. So this is about just there was a more dramatic move. He belongs in the discussion of the more elite class. Some, not all complex players do, but if you give me 18, 19-year-old who, especially if I see them in person, but really, really dominates, we're going to make that move. But there are cautionary tales. Robert Klaus might be a cautionary tale. I tend to still think I don't want to freak out, but Klaus dominated complex ball, hit 350 last year. Then he moved up and he played really well. This year, he's struggling his butt off. The strikeouts look like they're up. He's hitting 232. He's got a sub 300 OBP. I'm not ready to call it quits on Robert Klaus, but that's the balance that we're playing with. You know, no matter what underlying data or how many times we see a guy in person, like there is a fine dance and a balance between like, oh my God, this guy's elite, da da da. Like sample sizes, you know, over time tell us, but all of that beside the point. Rainiel Rodriguez with the Cardinals is a top 100 valued prospect. I'm not, that's probably not even a question to anybody. What I think starts to happen is like, okay, but so what level, you know, a 18-year-old who just moved to A ball, dominated and then struggled. Is that better than Xavier Isaac? Is that better than Charlie Condon? Is that more valuable than Spencer Jones? Is it more valuable than Colson Montgomery or Henry Bolt? Those are, I think, good questions. Cause I don't have, and I have not put him quite yet in an elite class. And I think the elite class is where you start to jump into the 50s, where it's like, you're probably not going to move too far out, but I think he's in there. He's a firm top 100 player. I think he's right in that kind of like top 75 range. And I think there's a grouping of, so I'm looking here, like 10 to 15 guys that I think, you know, a little bit more looks. Me, it's got to be more video. Talking more, like I think there's a way that he can move up and he can be like easily inside the top 75 in a very short period of time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! I think that will be him starting to figure out A-ball a little bit. But Rainiel Rodriguez, top 100, far away, but you do need to be paying attention to him. If you already weren't, I assume most everybody here is. But, you know, there are some of these leagues out there that you're burning and churning. And it's like, if you are a 12 team or 15 team and you have 10 prospects, proximity doesn't help him, but you should probably just make sure you have him. Now, in the same token, number 2 is an interesting conversation because this is one that I did put into the elite class, but I'm also biased because I see the player a lot. And this is a complex level guy who should not be complex too much longer, a little bit older, one of the biggest rank movers. And then getting back to that, let me see, where's my list go? Did I just get rid of it? When I was looking at my list, he's one of the biggest single movers on since the season has started. And I think one of the biggest over the last little, you know, rank or two update. It's Tyson Lewis with the Reds. And I've talked a decent amount about him, but man, every time I see him, he is in kind of just stud level. Now, one thing that's interesting is I don't know if this was in a chat. I'm kind of forgetting where this was, but this was kind of brought over to FanGraphs where essentially what was presented from the FanGraphs prospect people was that they didn't know if Tyson Lewis could hit. And I think maybe what's more meant by that is long-term sustainability and like, will he hit for impact? Because he's currently hitting 370 in complex ball. ridiculous. He's got almost 500 slug. So, you know, there's some stuff that's kind of floating there, but it hasn't been for power. He's got one homer and he's got three triples. Weirdly, he has no doubles, which I think is kind of funny. Strikeouts have not been a big crazy issue, but I think everybody at this point knows that insane ball that he hit, the 119 that I think they might have potentially corrected to like 114 that was out there. The thing that I love about him, so I hear that and I understand where that's coming from. I understand where this idea that this bigger scoped can he hit question comes from. But then what's put in your face is this is a guy that is hitting. He is hitting 370. You know, he is strikeout rate, something to look at. It's like 22%. You'd love it to be like a little bit better. But I also think, you know, he's trying to be aggressive out here. He has dramatically increased his body mass year over year. You know, they list him at 6'2", 195. That's probably right. But I want to say he was like a 180 last year in the Bridge League. He's 19 years old, which is probably about level. I think they want to see the bat come up a little bit. Like, I think it's lower launch angle stuff, but he's making a ton of contact. Listen, my big thing with him is I think he can hit. I think he will hit. As long as the organization continues to like make those big proper changes and optimize, and it might be in the off season, but from a, like his body perspective, this is a guy that looks like a 25 projected. He also has great bat speed. He's shown off elite power with that, whether it's 114 or 119, which I think is just a great sign we can take with us. And it's going to be about how long does this take? I remind you that a guy like Ketel Marte was this player that had these, you know, top every year. It was top 10 max EVs, but then his average EV would kind of be stinky. Maybe Tyson Lewis is going to be like that while he's figuring out the type of hitter that he needs to be and has to be. You know, we got to have more extra base hits in here. We got to get the ball in the air a little bit more. But I think he's kind of an elite talent. 19, I want to see him go to A ball. I want to see how that transition happens. But I really think he's a stud and I love everything that I'm seeing out of him. I think there are some questions out there, but I put him, and this is where it gets a little tricky. I put him as like right at the top 50 range. So I have him above Reyno Rodriguez. Those could be questions. You know, if Tyson Lewis doesn't figure it out and he's just one of those dudes that he just pops off occasional hard hit balls, but now he hits like 270 and it's 10 homers. Like that's not going to work. He's also not super crazy aggressive on the base paths right now. What is he? He's still, oh no, I guess he's still a nine in 17 games. Never mind. Take that back. But he's not walking a ton. Reyno Rodriguez, if he's a big elite power guy, okay, then that's where the differentials can happen. But two complex players, one I see a ton of. I got a lot of people telling me positive things about Tyson Lewis, yet you get some prominent people putting some questions on what that hit tool is going to look like. And then you've got Reyno Rodriguez, who has moved up out of complex, but had some struggles. But both guys, regardless of that point, have moved themselves way, way up. Reyniel Rodriguez and Tyson Lewis. All right, next up on the list, a little bit of a cheat. Little bit of a cheat because the whole time I'm like, hey everybody, it's gonna be the biggest rank movers. Now, I don't.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking.
In this league.
Break it down.
I think I would qualify as this is the one player that took a massive rank, but let me give you this qualifier. Is that I had this player high. There was a lot of negativity surrounded it. The season kind of started off slow-ish, and then I think this player has picked up to a pretty decent degree. So that's why. So this is kind of like a confirmation into the ranks. It's like a little bit of a cheat. But said player is Josue Briseño with the Detroit Tigers. And someone had brought it to my attention too, and I totally agreed with it, where they were a little bit overzealous and excited about Briseño, but they're like, he's not getting enough love. And I was like, you know, I actually don't disagree with that. Because if you're talking age to level with what he's done in the last 8 months, it's massively impressive, even if like the numbers don't absolutely just pop off of the planet or anything like that. Jose Bursinho with the Detroit Tigers in high A has definitely been a huge, huge power boost. He is, let me take a look here. There are only, so he is, and we move to there are only, two players 20 years or younger that have 13 homers or more in the minor leagues. The two players are Yosei Bursinho and Lazaro Montes. That's it. Now, if we move it to, this is an interesting one we'll do. If we do it to 20 or younger and we say double-digit homers, here are all of your double-digit, well, this is going to be a bigger list than I thought. Here are all your double-digit 20 or younger homer guys. I'm going to count with my finger. I'm going from bottom to top, technically. So Arjun Namala, there's one. I'm going off of Fangraph's ages, so sometimes I get screwy. Arun Escobar, there's two. We're only going 20 or under. Eduardo Quintero, there's three. Michael Arroyo, there's four. Jarrell Perez, he has 12 at five. Freely Encarnacion with Boston, he's 20. He has 12. That's six. And then Yosei Bursinho and Montes. Seven players, 20 or younger, with 10 or more homers this season. It's a pretty good list of guys that I just listed off, by the way. Encarnacion, maybe there's a little bit underrated there. Jarrell Perez struggles with batting average, but he's hit a bunch of homers. But everybody else on that list, Arun Escobar flying up lists. Everybody loves Arjun Namala now. But Bursinho doesn't quite get into that. And I feel like I'm a little defensive of him. I said this on Tim Kanak's show the other day. He invited me on. We were talking about Bursinho, and I felt a little defensive in that, and I think that's where it was, in that, like, it got lumped into me because I loved Jacob Marcy the year prior in AFL, and I fell in love with Bursinho this year, and I think part of that got thrown back at me, like, well, this is your Jacob Marcy this year, and people weren't super impressed, and Bursinho is just one of those AFL guys, and I just don't think he is. But just mind you, he was, I think he had just turned 20 years old when he joined the AFL. So he was like 19 into 20, and he had the triple crown in the Arizona Fall League. Some pretty good players, batting average across the board, great decisions. They were pitching him differently, which was weird. You don't see in the AFL. Then he brought it over into this season where he went to high A. Again, he's only 20 years old, starting to change some positions. He's becoming a predominant big power hitter. An almost 400 OBP with a .264 batting average. Pretty impressive. Now, you know, the batting average isn't something to write home about. I think that's part of the thing that ultimately you might take a look at. People are going to look at, like, contact rates to strikeouts. Like, let's take a look at strikeouts so far. 34 strikeouts over 144 at bats, 369. I mean, that's under, I'm not looking at Fangraphs, so I'm not seeing percentages, but you know, that's not horrific. He has almost any walks as strikeouts. If we want to look at the total power numbers, by the way, of his 38 hits, 22 are extra base. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. 1,000 OPS, 20 years old, one of the younger players at high A, and he's doing pretty damn well. So I guess that's where the cheat comes from, in that, like, there definitely was a path that, there's always a path, you could be wrong, but, like, that he could start trending in a wrong direction. You know, he hit 256 in April. He then hit 289 in May. A little struggly this month, but he does have a homer. He had a four-hit game, by the way, but of the five games he played in June, which I guess he's missed a couple days, he only, that's the only game that he had hits in. You felt wavery, like, ooh, is he going to be a 240 hitter? Like, that's not going to work. But, you know, average is getting up. Great OBP, huge power. I think we just need to get some more respect on Yosué Bursinho. And I just felt, you know, not even like a confirmation or anything like that, but it's just like I had him ranked high. I think he's deserved of it. And he's one of the more prolific younger power hitters so far across the minor league. So Bursinho is one of those players that we are giving some love to. And I think I had wrote here, he had a 340 ISO. That is the second best among all 20 or younger batters. That's pretty sweet. I think it might have been Montes was the number one. So 340 ISO, second best among all 20 or younger hitters in the minor leagues. Pretty impressive. Now here's another high A player, tad bit older, actually closing in on 22. It looks like he's actually going to be 22 here very shortly. Actually 4 days. So when you're listening to this, it'll be a couple days. It'll be his birthday. Mike Sirota. He's going to come in. What number is this of players that we've talked about? This is number 4. Mike Sirota is someone that I kind of tried to be more dismissive of, even though he has, you know, absolutely dominated in the short stint that he's had here. Good college career where he was hitting essentially 300 across all 3 years. I saw him in the Bridge League when he was with the Reds, but he was then traded to the Dodgers, and he's played A and high A so far, hitting 300 across both levels, 10 homers combined in 40 games on those two levels right now. Great walk rate. Strikeout rate is absolutely respectable. ISO has been 270 or higher across both levels. OBP has been over 400 on both of those. He absolutely has a 3.46 slash on the season, which is impressive. And, you know, when you're looking at some of those contact numbers, you definitely want like zone contact, but overall a 75% contact rate. He's making a lot of contact. He's hitting the ball harder than a lot of people are expecting. He has not been stealing a bunch of bases, but it's a very prototype type of body. He has more stolen bases in the bank. There's going to be continued future power. And I thought it might be short, fluky stuff. And that's why I think as the season has progressed, you know, is 200 at bats, roughly 40 games. Is that enough of a sample size? Nah, it's not enough to be like, this is exactly who he is. But we're trending in a direction where he is massively overperforming at each level in the best ways possible. I think it'll be interesting to see once he moves a level up what the strikeouts versus the contact rates are going to look like, because though the strikeout numbers, they don't like fly out to you, 21% in A ball, 23% in high A. He's 22 years old. You know, it's not that it's, oh, but like we want to see him in double A. Double A is like a really key number for him. Are those strikeout numbers going to continue to like increase because there's an aggressiveness and a big power bat that's in there? He's not even pulling the ball a whole lot. So I think that also speaks to some of the raw power that he's putting up. And I, you know, of that class, it's technically, I've now given you two of the Reds from that same draft class, because it was Sirota, Tyson Lewis. They had a couple other, there were like four, I'm forgetting all of them. There are four guys that were here during Bridge League from that draft class. Lewis, Sirota, I know Peyton Stovall, and I'm forgetting whoever the other one was, that they were all here. And Sirota just kind of quietly did his thing. And then as soon as the Dodgers got him, just like Zaire Hope, like the Zaire Hope stuff all over again, they just unlocked this big power bat, making really great contact. It's hard to deny that, like, he is a massive, massive riser in ranks. Now, I will say, you know, like when I do this, I think it's becoming about stabilizing the value, where I think some people would look at the production that he's had so far and just say, this is it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Like, we're good to go. Like, let's jam it. He's a top 50 prospect. Not ready to go there yet, but I will say it's like a great prototypical body. You hope the Dodgers are going to let him continue to produce, but I think there's also a bigger question to be like, you know, let's say he ends at double A and you've got Zaire Hope and then you got like Dalton Rushing up there and Andy Pahis. How many of these guys can push? How many of these guys can get to the majors? How many are going to be blocked? What are trade assets and stuff like that? Maybe at the end of the day, it doesn't like fully matter for Sirota because you just want him to keep being this big power hitter. I mean, an over 300 ISO is huge. He has the 13th best OPS in the minors with like, I think I did like 50 at bats or something. But he has an over 1,000 OPS with a 3.46 slash, and that OPS is the 13th best across the board. That's how good he's been. There's a little age to level that's going on here, but it's just simply something like, you know, if he keeps doing this, the best clue was that he carried over his A to high A. Because that's a big jump too. Huge, huge clue there. So if he does this to double A, I think it's going to tell us even more. But big athletic power outfielder, might be showing off some 25-plus home run power. And Sirota was kind of a nothing burger for a lot of people. But he should definitely be high on radars. And he has made a big, massive jump in the ranks for sure. Now, another one at number five, we've got a couple pitchers that are coming up. But just finishing up, we've got two more hitters after this. And then we're going to talk about three pitchers. In the same vein of Mike Sirota, someone I've seen, kind of preconceived notion carries a little bit when they get hot. I have carried kind of a preconceived Jacob Reamer thought process because he was in the Arizona Fall League this past year and he was okay. Wasn't fantastic. Got some relative playing time. He's got a pretty underperforming minor league career. I mean, 196 in A ball last year. He did hit 333 in, that's high A, by the way. A ball, he was okay. The year prior to that in high A, he hit 203. Not great. There's a little bit of like learning levels. So, and now I'm looking at this. This actually is kind of reminiscent of what I've talked about with Rafael Devers. First year, 2022, complex, mediocre, 261. Next year, and that was very, that was like seven games, by the way. Next year comes in, 429. You go up to A ball, you hit 280. So that's kind of your dominance. Bam. You're dominating that level. You've learned it really well. You go up to high A, struggle, 203, 25 games. 2024, you go back. You got a little bit at A where you dominate and you go back to high A, struggle again, come back this year, dominating at high A, 21 years old, hitting 311, eight homers, 11 stolen bases. What I'm getting at is if you're catching it is like there is, he gets to a level where he learns it, dominates it, moves up. There's a struggle, an adjustment period, and that I think has kind of held him back from being like this big standout player. But this year, he's continued every single minor league season having a double-digit walk rate. His Ks tend to kind of lower. I mean, he's under 20%, which is fantastic. ISO's way up over 254. He's got a 3.45 slash right now, Jacob Reamer does. And he has been one of those guys that has been a skyrocketer because also those power numbers. Eight homers are impressive. You want to know what's more impressive? 17 doubles so far this year. Those 17 doubles are top 20 in baseball. And if we look at players 21 or younger, here are your 21 or younger with 17 or more doubles. You have Maxton Martin, who's 20 with Texas, which by the way is crazy because I saw him last year in complex and he had the jankiest, weirdest swing. And he's got 19 doubles with A ball. Then you have Sal Stewart, who is next to him with 17 as well, who's in double A. Then Jacob Reamer, and then nobody. If we want to extend it a little bit, you've got Fraley and Encarnacion, which by the way, let's give extra attention to him. 20 years old, 16 doubles, 12 homers, 29 extra base hits. Good Lord. I don't know if there are many 20 or youngers. This is a Fraley Encarnacion tweet here. I don't know if there's many more 20 or younger guys. Now I'm going to have to do a sorting here that have 29 or more extra base hits. Even as I look, that's crazy. Sebastian Walcott also has 16 doubles as well. So that's kind of the crew that we're talking about here with Reamer. Tiny bit older, 21 years old, high A, but has dominated. 11 stolen bases too, something to pay attention to, over 300 average. And as we were giving that number, the total is 29 extra base hits he has when I do the math. Four triples, 17 doubles, eight homers. That is the same amount. 29 extra base hits is a crazy, crazy number. Strikeouts are there. We'll have to like kind of monitor how that goes long term. But, you know, he is kind of, and maybe the AFL helped him transform into this better hitter. He is early into his 21 year age. So I guess he was 20 when he was out here in the AFL, which is pretty interesting. Contact rates are huge, over 80%. So I was just giving you what Mike Sirota is doing. Okay, 80% overall contact rates in the minor leagues. Not looking at, because I don't have the zone contact rates here. But he's pulling the crap out of the ball right now, which it looks like in his biggest struggles, he is obviously just not getting to the ball and he can't pull the ball. This is an instance where his pitch recognition really looks like it's locked in. 51% pull percentage, which the only other time he's done that was last year at A ball, where he had kind of dominated and he hit 333 in those, you know, short amount of games. So really seems to be locked in. Big, again, bigger body guy. You know, they list him 6'200", maybe even a little bit better. Swing looks pretty nice. I'm not sure if he's like this no doubt top 100 prospect, but the package of Sirota and Reamer were just kind of very disinterested prospects, I think, for a lot of people that have had these really great early starts that are carrying over. Now, the thing to watch for with Reamer is if you only look at June, he is back to struggling in June. But the last two games, he's picked up the hits, starting to hit the ball better. But June's numbers look a little bit down. But overall, there is power, there is speed.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
And we laid out some of the numbers on why he's very impressive. Reamer and Sirota, their trajectory of how high they went is kind of simple to like just how disinterested I think a lot of people were in them in general. Number six, we are going to the complex. So we got these little groupings and these pairings of guys. We had the big complex movers. We kind of had just the Yosei Bursinho group. We had the kind of nobody cared, and they have had these crazy good seasons with Data and Sirota and Reamer. And now we are back to two absolute complex standouts that have not moved like Raniel Rodriguez or Tyson Lewis, but they're starting the path of it. Absolute unknowns for many, many people that should be more known. And one of them's my guy out here with the Dodgers. I have mentioned him once or twice. It's Ching Hsien Ko with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who is a big-bodied dude. That's one of the main things that stands out to you, by the way, because this is a team that's got like Emil Morales on it. And Ching Hsien Ko is an 18-year-old, 6'3", 215-pound outfielder who he's got this crazy high upright stance. I think I put some video out. I don't know if I've done it on Twitter, but my Instagram at Is It The Welsh, you can see some swings. And he has had just a monstrous complex league at 18 years old. He's got a 4.56 slash, hitting over 400, 500 OBP. I'll give you the exacts as I'm recording this. 421 batting average, 521 OBP, over 600 slug. This is in almost 30 games in complex. Pretty impressive. He played in the DSL last year as a 17-year-old, 241 in a short sample size. This year, strikeouts weigh only 15% strikeout rate with a 14% walk rate with a major league looking body, which has stood out. He has a 195 WRC plus. You want to be careful about like complex league stuff like that, but you know, you can start to like maybe make cases and pay attention when you get over 100 plate appearances. But for reference, 195 WRC plus, it is the highest of any teenager in baseball with 100 or more plate appearances. That is higher than Raniel Rodriguez of the Cardinals by a couple spots. That's how ridiculous he has been out here. I've seen some bad swings from Ko. He has gotten mixed up by a little bit more advanced breaking speed stuff. It was Rhett Lauder. He's gone up against, God, who was the, I'm forgetting the other one. There was a rehab guy that was here and kind of made him look a little silly, but he definitely destroys fastballs. When he gets lost in a count, that's where you get these really ugly swings, but that big upright stance can loft the ball, get that up in the air. And he's got some crazy big raw tools. He's not even pulling the ball right now. The contact percentage isn't like crazy absurd. We kind of understand this league kind of sucks as far as pitching goes, but he is an 18-year-old. And he is not striking out. He's walking. He has a 4.56 slash, two homers, two stolen bases. It's pretty ridiculous. 1,100 slug. We got to give some respect to Ko. So Ching Xian Ko, K-O is the last name, C-H-I-N-G-H-S-I-E-N, and then Ko as the last name. And that's where, I barely talked to him, but yelled to him, we just go Ko. And then he responds to that, not to butcher his first name. He is somebody that is taking a big move from absolute nothing burger to anybody to dominating this league. He will be out of here soon. I don't know when. And you know, to be fair, maybe they actually want him to stick around for the entirety of the rookie league. And then when Bridge League starts up and you have drafted guys, they'll move him up to A-ball. Let's see how he fares in A-ball before you make him a crazy big prospect. But if you want one of these dudes that is going to pop on all of the, like, the data prospecting people, there is no doubt, because you have high WRC plus, low strikeouts, high average, you know, over 200 ISO, like all of those things are going to scream to database prospect lists. I'll tell you, he's a little bit more raw than what they might say on there, but he's moving up. He's absolutely moving up. Another guy who is moving up, and this is over in the FCL. And this is a little bit more stat data driven when you do the research on it, and then you can find some good swings. Edward Florentino with the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is another big bodied outfielder that is 18 years old. 18 year old Edward Florentino with the Pittsburgh Pirates, standing at 6'4", over 200 pounds, 5 homers, 4 stolen bases in 22 complex games this year, with a 3.46 slash again. Those are 3.46 slashes stand out right now.